There was an American philosopher, William James, who divided truths into two sorts, what might be called truths of the observer and truths of the will. The truths of the observer is simply a matter of noticing what the facts are, and you can't let your desire for the facts to be a certain way get in the way. In other words, you can't fudge the data to fit with your preconceived notions or desires. If you really want to get to the truth of a matter, like the case of the orbits of the planets. For a long time, they wanted the orbits to be perfect circles because circles are perfect. It wasn't until Kepler came along and noticed that the data actually had the orbits as ellipses. He himself didn't want them to be ellipses. He preferred the circles. We finally had to admit that the data set, they're ellipses. That's how we learned what's really going on. So these are truths if you want to know them. You can't let your desires get in the way. With truths of the will, however, you have to want them to be true for them to happen. If you want to be a good violinist, you have to want it. If you want to be a good entrepreneur, you have to want it. If you simply sit there and watch things happening on their own, the truth of being a violinist, the truth of being an entrepreneur, just won't happen. But even with truths of the will, there has to be some element of objectivity. The observer, the disinterested observer, has to play a role. Otherwise, you can want and want and want and pretend you're getting what you aimed at. But you may not be really good. You may not be a good violinist or a good entrepreneur. So even with truths of the will, there has to be some objectivity, some stepping back. You commit yourself to what you want, but then you have to reflect. This can be seen in the Buddha's teachings on the basis for success. These are four types of concentration, or four ways of concentrating the mind, with an emphasis either on desire, persistence, intent, your powers of discrimination, your powers to analyze things, to be ingenious with coming up with solutions. Those first three are pure truths of the will. To get the mind concentrated, you have to want to get it concentrated. There will be times, of course, when it does just kind of settle down on its own. But we're working on a skill here, something that you can learn how to access when you want it. And for that, you have to desire it. Then you have to stick with it, whatever is needed to do it. And you have to give it your full intention. That's what intent means. Give it your full attention. There's a Zen teacher, Dogen, who talked about how the cessation of suffering is basically the same as the development of the path. Or rather, the realization of the cessation of suffering is the same thing as the development of the path. He's not saying that the path is the goal. What he is saying is that if you want to realize the goal, you have to give your full attention to developing the path. You can't keep glancing down to the end of the path and say, when is the goal going to come? You have to give your full attention to what you're doing. Be really sensitive to what you're doing, so that you can judge it properly. Now, these three qualities, desire, persistence, and intent, are also found in right effort. The standard phrase there is that you generate desire, exert persistence, and uphold your intent for the sake of abandoning unskillful qualities and developing skillful ones. Now you're going to devote those three activities specifically to developing concentration. And it's this concentration is accompanied by the fabrications of exertion. Be willing to breathe in ways that are conducive to the concentration. Talk to yourself in ways that are conducive to giving rise to desire. Keep back your persistence and give your full attention to what you're doing. too, there's an element of discernment here. When you see that your desire is beginning to flag, you have to keep reminding yourself of the good things that happen when you get the mind into concentration, the good things that can happen as you progress on the path. As for persistence, you have to remind yourself that, yes, you can do this. The Buddha's not asking anything superhuman out of you. You're exploring one of the potentials of what a human being can do. And you can find that when you have the desire strong enough, you can find resources inside yourself that you might not have expected. Remember one of the first times I meditated all night alone. Prior to that time, all night sits had been done in conjunction with other people. But we had a group of lay people coming, and John Fung was going to be sitting with them, and he wanted me to be off separate. I wondered how I could do it without the support of the group. But as I made up my mind that I was going to do it, I kept finding resources inside that I hadn't expected. So tell yourself that you can do this. This path that the Buddha teaches. And finally give it your full attention. Remind yourself it is worth your full attention. This is the path out. Think of that Far Side cartoon. We have two penguins on an ice floe. One of them has a little straw hat and a cane. The other's playing the piano. And one of them is saying, no, take it again from the top. This is our only ticket out of here. You have to realize that the path that the Buddha teaches you is our only ticket out. You look around you at the human realm. It's a pretty discouraging place to be. People make all kinds of mistakes based on greed, aversion, delusion. They do all kinds of evil based on greed, aversion, delusion, and never learn. And everybody keeps wanting to come back for more. So this path is the path out, so give it your full attention. It deserves your full attention. So all of these three are strongly based on desire. And then you use your desire to become more objective for the fourth one, using your powers of discrimination, your ability to notice what's working, what's not working, and the ability to figure out why. This is where you really have to focus on truths of the observer. You may want a certain technique to work, but it's not working for you. Or you may want your way of working on the technique to work. But you have to be honest with yourself that it's not working. This is what the Buddha said when he was looking for a student. He wanted someone who was honest and observant. Because it's not just a matter of doing what you're told. You can do what you're told. But then you have to figure out, is it really working? Did you understand the original instructions? Are you applying them rightly? So you have to develop truths of the will and then truths of the observer. You desire to do your best, and then you judge honestly whether it really is the best, whether it really is up to snuff. If it's not up to snuff, you can't tell yourself, well, I've tried so hard. It's got to work. If it's not working, you've got to figure out why. If this observer is not honest, that's how you get all these people who think they're awakened and teach awakening in a way that's really off the mark. Just because they wanted it so bad, wanted it to be that way so bad. So even though we're working on the truth of the will here, you have to be honest about whether it's working or not. You have to be an honest observer. You notice the proportions here. Three parts desire, three parts will, one part observer. It's in line with the proportions of the Buddha's instructions in general. He would give one part instruction, and then there was rouse, urge, and encourage. Three parts encouragement. You need that encouragement, you need that desire in order to do well. You have to learn how to make it strong, but focused in the right way, focused on the causes. Then when the results come, that's when you pull back and you back to the part of the observer. Is this up to snuff? Is what I've attained really qualify as something really good? Is what I've done really satisfactory? If not, what can I improve? Even though it's one part, you've got to learn how to trust that one part to keep everything else in line, to keep everything else honest. But again, three parts desire. This goes against a popular misconception that we have to have no desire in the path, or no sense that we're doing the path, or that we shouldn't be thinking in terms of successful or unsuccessful meditation, good or bad meditation. All of those attitudes get in the way. Think about the Buddha. He had to desire awakening so strongly that he was willing to leave home, try the teachings of the best teachers he could find at the time. When they weren't good enough, he submitted himself to six years of austerities, almost starving himself to death because he wanted this so badly. When he realized that that wasn't the path, he didn't give up on desire. He realized, okay, his desires were focused in the wrong place. Again, his observer, his powers of discrimination were solid enough to realize, even though he wanted this to be the way to awakening. And there was a certain amount of pride in what he had done. He had to abandon that pride. But he didn't give up on his desire. He said, there must be another way. It was because of his desire he was able to find it. Because of his powers of discrimination, that when he did find it, he knew what he'd found. The same with Venerable Ananda. He'd been invited to a conference after the Buddha's passing away, the council where they were going to standardize the Buddha's teachings. Now, he was a necessary part of the council, but he was not yet an arahant, the only one at the conference that was not an arahant. So he practiced hard, sitting, meditating, walking. Didn't get anywhere. Finally decided to rest. But even as he was lying down, he was still focused on his mind. In that posture, halfway between sitting, halfway between lying down, that's when he gained awakening. That's usually a posture in which people who have been meditating well into the night just let go of the meditation and get ready to sleep. But no, he kept at it all the way until he lay down. That's how he gained awakening. So the desire has to be strong. It has to be well-fed. But then you use your powers of observation to make sure that the desire doesn't become an obstacle in and of itself. That's why you have all four of these bases for power. And why all four work together.